The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it.
The second reading is Revelation 22, verses 1 to 5. Then the angels showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and its servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
We've had two stories read to us from the Bible from each end. They kind of bookend the Bible. That's kind of pretty much as close to the beginning as you can get, as close to the end as you can get. And these stories about these two gardens, we live in a time between these two gardens that are mentioned. It just occurred to me as we were hearing I'm going to go off on the diversion already. When we heard the Genesis reading, he said that Eden was an actual place. We know, when we read that, we read about the rivers and all the stuff, that's an actual place. We now know that as Iraq. All sorts of good and terrible things have happened there since. But I love how the writers of Genesis are rooting this story in a real place. You see, Eden isn't some sort of mythical Narnia through the wardrobe kind of place. It's rooted in a real place. There's some reality about this. And so these two stories. Well, Genesis tells us a story about a garden called Eden that was created good, and it's full of beautiful trees, and there's rivers, and they're watering the garden, and it's absolutely amazing. And God made it good, and he also made people good. In fact, he made the people so good, he called them very good. And then at the other end of the Bible, we have Revelation. And this is telling us about a new garden in a new city, in a new heaven and a new earth. And again, there's this river that's bringing life and that's watering the trees along its banks. And so we live in a time between these two stories. And we live in a world that is still beautiful because God made it beautiful. But we, beautiful as it is, we recognize that the world we live in and the people in it, there's something not quite right about it. It's not as good as Eden, and it's not as good as we read about in Revelation. There's something, bad stuff happens. It's somehow damaged in some way. It's a bit wonky, Bad stuff happens. As the Irish poet Seamus Heaney says, quoting the Roman poet Virgil, so there's a link for you, said, "There are tears at the heart of things." So the Roman poet Virgil, writing like 2,000 years ago or so, one of the things he was writing, the Aeneid, he said, there are tears at the heart of things. Recognize there's an agony about life. It's still good, it's still beautiful, but there's something broken about it. Now, the organization that I work for, CYO, Christian Youth Outreach, we work across the Colchester area with young people in schools all over. Mostly secondary schools, but now increasingly primary schools as well, helping to support primary schools. And we do lots of different things in schools, and I've been doing this for quite a long time, and I've done lots of different things. Some of those different things we don't do anymore, not because they were bad, but because we've kind of moved on to other stuff. But the stuff we're doing at the moment, there's a lot of chaplaincy going on. CYO either delivers or supports chaplaincy in over half of the secondary schools of the Colchester area. So the secondary schools and colleges of the Colchester area. So Wendy's talked a little bit about chaplaincy in at the hospital. And so chaplaincy is kind of taking the ministry of the church and plonking it right where people are. It's taking who we are as church and putting it in a place that's not church and being church there. And a bit, as Wendy was alluding to, what we found really interesting about this working in schools as chaplains, which I still think is an amazing thing, is it's almost like the less pushy you are about faith, the more people want to know. There's something intriguing happens when you're there as a Christian presence, as a Christian person, identified as a Christian person, and you just go there to serve and to support and help to meet people's needs. And that. And then all these questions come, or people come and find you because they want you to pray for them, or they want to ask you a question about God. One of the stories that I particularly remember when one of our team, many years ago, was appointed chaplain in a school, Alderman Blackstock School, which has now been demolished and is about to reappear in a couple of years' time as the Paxman Academy. But she was chaplain there, and she'd been mentoring in the school for the first 2 years. And then we said to the head, would you like her to be your chaplain? And the head said, yes, could she come in for 5 days a week? And we went, well, we can't quite manage that, but you know, we'll see what we can do. And as soon as Amy was appointed as chaplain to that school, a state school, what was really interesting was that there was a scary atheist teacher among the teachers, the staff there. And he was one of the first people to come up to her and want to talk to her about finding a Bible reading for an assembly that he was doing. It's really strange. People come and find you when you're the chaplain. So we do chaplaincy in secondary schools all across and in the Sixth Form College and Colchester Institute. And that's been amazing, the opportunities that come out of that. I'll explain a bit more about that in a minute. We have among our team and others that work with us, alongside us, or that we partner with, we mentor hundreds of young people every year in like kind of a 25-minute face-to-face meeting with an individual young person, multiplied up hundreds of times across the area, just supporting young people who are struggling with life. You don't have to go too far from the TV or paper to discover that lots of young people are struggling with stress and anxiety. I read in the paper this morning about students doing GCSEs and A-levels who are breaking down in doing the exam. They're having a breakdown, an anxiety breakdown, whilst doing an exam because the stress is so great. Think, what are we doing to young people? You know, that's not a way of raising standards. That's a way of crushing people. There's something really difficult going on. It's not just about exams in school, it's about other pressures as well. But young people are under a huge pressure. And so our teams and those working with us are able to go into schools and to support young people one-to-one, to give somebody for them to chat to about what's going on in life, and to help them think about it, reflect on it, and find some ways forward. It's brilliant. It works. And then we do prayer spaces in primary schools and in secondary schools. We've got a couple of prayer spaces coming up in secondary schools this term. And then, as I say, also we're supporting primary school prayer spaces like the one that happened in your primary school here just a few weeks ago. So one of the questions that we find arising, remember we're between two gardens here. We're in the bit in between where it's all gone a bit wrong. There's tears at the heart of things. And we often, you know, we meet young people who are struggling, and in some of the prayer spaces they'll say things like, why do bad things happen to good people? Why did my dad leave? Why did my grandma have to die? So young people know that the world is not the way it should. And our experience of the world, yours, mine, these young people's, suggests that the world isn't the way it should be. It's as if every one of us deep down inside has a memory of Eden. It's like everyone has a memory of Eden, what it should be like. Or there's like a whisper of the future, what it will be like. And I find that really interesting because actually we all live in a world that is broken and damaged, and we experience some of that ourselves, we see that in our friends, we see it in the news. How is it that we're not used to that? Why are we not able to, you know, if there is no God, why are we not able just to go, heck, that's the way the world is. We just have to live with it, just have to get on with it. No, at the heart of every person, there's this sense that this isn't how it should be. It wasn't meant to be like this. And I'm hoping for a future that looks different. Yeah, we have a memory of Eden, but there's a whisper of the new city, the new heaven, the new earth. And so part of what we do as chaplains, and I'm sure as Wendy will do in her conversation with people, is kind of drawing out that and helping people to realise that, yes, the world is broken, but there's an answer as well. There's another amazing story that's between these two stories of gardens. And this one involves rivers as well. And this is when this person comes to a river to be baptised. And as he comes out of the river, there's a voice from heaven that says, "This is my son who I love. With him I'm well pleased." And it's like, ho, oh, this is God's son. This is Jesus. And one of the things that, one of the most remarkable statements that Jesus made, which I love to bits and we quote wherever we go, is this one. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And in between these two stories, in the world that's a bit broken, Jesus comes and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," because all these things, it's about putting these things right. And Jesus it starts that work there and then. It's not saying, "Hey folks, I'm just telling you about this thing that's going to happen in, like, eventually after you die, you know, there'll be healing and the oppressed won't be oppressed anymore." He's saying, "Now, the Spirit of the Lord is on me now." And what's interesting about that passage from the Bible is that he's reading, it's from the scroll of Isaiah, is that he stops at the bit where it says to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Now, all the people that were listening, they'll be familiar with that scripture. And there's another line that he doesn't say. It's the bit that comes after that. And it says, "And the day of vengeance of our God." And I've wondered, why did Jesus stop there? Why didn't he finish it? Like, if we were reading from the Bible, we would read to the end of the verse, wouldn't we? You don't kind of stop halfway through. In fact, if we do that, people might go, "Why have you stopped halfway through? You know, that's not being honest to the scriptures or something." But Jesus does that. He's allowed to. He stops short of "and the day of vengeance of our God." And I wonder, why is that? I think, so this is my idea, so check me out on this. I think this is why. Because Jesus is kind of saying to people, you know that one day God is going to wrap all this up and there will be justice. But not yet. God's not going to come in vengeance after you now. This is the day of the favour of God. God is here to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. Kind of. It's not, today isn't the day for God's vengeance. Today's the day for God's blessing. And then he says, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," meaning that in himself. So we see our part of our mission, and this is the mission of the church. You know, CYO is just, you know, we're just like a subset of who the church in Colchester is, because actually we're all part of the church in Colchester. We're not a thing, like I say to people, we're not a thing over the hill far away that's just doing this thing in schools. We are you. And one story that just occurred to me this morning as I came here, and I don't mean to embarrass her, but it's to do with Philip Morant School, one of the schools where we're doing chaplaincy. Now, it was one of the most recent ones to have started chaplaincy. We're now in our third year there, I think, of having chaplaincy in Philip Morant School. It's a school that went through a bit of a tough time. It's not so great for them at the moment either. But a few years ago, Helen, at the back, said, "Could you come in and talk about chaplaincy to one member of the senior team there?" So, yeah. So I went in for this lunchtime meeting. And for the whole of this lunchtime, this person who we met up with was just, she was in it. I was explaining what chaplaincy looks like in other schools, what we're able to do, how we're able to support the spiritual life of schools, bring pastoral care to students, support the whole school, all of that. And she was just lapping it up. She wrote like about three sides of A4 of notes about all this stuff that we're talking about. We were there for the whole lunchtime. I thought it would be a short meeting. No, it was all of lunchtime. At the end of it, she said, yeah, thank you. Now, it took a little while for that to work its way through the school system and for the school to go say yes to chaplaincy. But in the end, they did. And their chaplain there now is Joe Robbins, who is the youth worker at Plume Avenue URC Church, which is the church just across the way from that school. And so the brilliant thing there is chaplaincy is being delivered by the local church. And that creates connections with the local church. And that's been really helpful. There have been young people that have found their way into the youth work of the church. And there's been ways for the church to continue to support the school. There's a real partnership thing happening there. But that happened because Helen had the kind of saw the potential for this relationship to happen. And that's often how it happens around the place. It's people like you and me and Helen and others who are working in schools, or who have connections particularly, and who are able to make stuff happen. And that one little meeting, that was what was, I said to Helen this morning, that was the key that unlocked what is now going on in that school. And there's been some amazing things happening there. And although you'll know from the news, there's some tough things going on around Philip Morant at the moment, but Joe, the chaplain there, is able to support the staff through that. He's able to be a listening ear to them as well, you know, because we're there for all people. So he's able to be good news, to bind up a few wounds, to heal a few people who are feeling a bit oppressed. And yeah, isn't that amazing that the church can do that in a school? People sometimes say to me, is it difficult getting into schools as Christians? How difficult did that sound? You know, it's really easy, because what we have to offer is actually what schools want, as long as we're doing it in the right kind of way. So, yeah, a few more stories from what we're doing. Well, we're doing chaplaincy in the Sixth Form College and in Colchester Institute. Some of the things that happen as a result of that. Bex, who's the chaplain in the Sixth Form College, she met up with two students who didn't know each other, but they wanted to go to Soul Survivor, but they were on there, they were the only young person in the church that was interested. She was able to link them up with another group that were going to Soul Survivor, this youth conference that happens in the Southwest. And so they joined up and they went to that. As a result of that, they came back, and at Sixth Form College, four of them decided, so these two, who'd been two individuals, now linked up with others, they decided that what they wanted to do was to pray and study the Bible together every week. And so Bex has been supporting them as a little group, and they meet in a cafe each week after college to study the Bible together and to pray. Isn't that amazing? Like spiritual life kind of bursting out among young people, just through Bex being able to be there to be the, they talk to her because she's the chaplain, because who else would you talk to? And she was able to link them up with some other people who, so it's all about, you know, it's links and daisy chains and things that happen as a result of things happening. But God is in it, God's spirit is in it, knitting all this together. It's fabulous. There was a Muslim lad from Iran. So they're in Colchester, there are quite a few refugees that have come across from some of the terrible things that are happening in the Middle East and beyond. And there was a Muslim lad from Iran. He'd lost all his family, apart from his dad. And he sought out Bex, the chaplain, and he wanted to know about prayer. Because he wanted to talk to her about prayer. Tell me about prayer. He wanted to know how Christian prayer is different from Muslim prayer. And their conversation led on to talking about Jesus and who Jesus is and how God is our Father. And some Muslims will react against that because that's contrary to the teaching of Islam. But he wanted to know this. He was fascinated. God was drawing him into understanding about who Jesus is and how our relationship with Jesus introduces us to God as Father. But as I said earlier, we were also there for staff. And one of the members of staff there said, who'd been going through a tough time, and they weren't able to talk to other staff about it and stuff. And they met up with Bex. And afterwards they said, you're the only person that's listened to me. In the sense that actually having time to listen, that stuff that Wendy was saying about, like in the hospital, that there'll be people, you'll have time for people in a way that other people won't have time for them. Other stories, we run courses for girls and for boys in schools that are struggling with self-esteem. I talked about anxiety earlier. Lots of people struggling, young people struggling with anxiety. We do this lovely course called Beloved, which I'm not involved in because I'm a bloke, and it's run for girls. but after one of those courses, Amy, who set the course up and used to work with us, she was sitting in her car at the end of, she'd just driven in a school car park at the end of the school day, and all these students were coming up. And she did a double take, because one of the girls that had been in a group that she'd run there earlier was walking past, and a group of girls, and they were all chatting and getting on well. This girl was completely changed in her manner. And so Amy then, after she let all these students get out of the way, she then went into the school to meet up with a member of staff. And the member of staff said, Amy told the member of staff about this, seeing this girl go out. And this member of staff said, yes, that course completely changed the way that girl is in school now. It's been transformative for her. Isn't that amazing that we can go in and do things like that? Another girl came bouncing up to us one day when we were in school, having done the Beloved course 2 years previously. And she just said, that course changed my life. Amazing that we can go into schools and do stuff that young people say, that changed my life. And then I talked about prayer spaces, like the one that happened in St Andrew's Primary School, was it a couple of months ago, wasn't it? That we're supporting local people to do. And it's important, it's the local people that are doing these things. In the secondary school ones, just a few quotes from some young people that have done that one. We've been doing these for 10 years now. Some young people said this: it makes me feel like there's actually a point to prayer. So we don't tell them that they have to pray, and we don't tell them what to think about coming into this sanctum prayer space thing. They have to make up their own mind, and this is what they say as a result of that: it made me feel like there's actually a point to prayer. It's changed my mind about prayer by showing why we pray and what to say. So that young person has been equipped to pray. And then someone else just said, it made me think about God more. Isn't that amazing that we can go into school and help young people to think about God more? So then there's the mentoring that I mentioned as well. So going in one-to-one, supporting young people. One young person once said about one of our mentors, not me, but you know, he said, I can talk to you, you're normal. Young people are surrounded by professionals who do a great job, but sometimes they just want to talk to someone that's there to listen and to be there for them. And we know that young people have been really helped by meeting up one-to-one. So our chaplains do a bit of mentoring, and then we also have other volunteers who come in and help. But those people are coming from local churches. They're people like you and me, just coming into, you know, that offer, and we do a bit of training, and they can then come in and work with young people in schools. They offer a couple of hours a week. And just amazing. One of our most recent ones to start is Pete Watson, who is Amy, who used to work with CYO, her dad. He's got multiple sclerosis. He's in a wheelchair. But he's offered his time to the Colne Community School, where there's a chaplain, and he's in there 2 hours a week, meeting mostly lads. Lads love him. He's great. He's just a normal, regular kind of, you know, older dad, younger granddad kind of guy. But he's able to listen to them, help them think about what's going on in their lives. They think he's fabulous. Yeah, Pete's not been trained as a counsellor. He doesn't have a background, any of that. He used to work for the Financial Ombudsman Service. But he's able to just chat with young people and support them. We'd like to see more of that happening. Schools would like to see more of that happening. So young lives are being changed, and their futures are being rewritten, rewired by the work that CYO and lots of other people are doing in local schools. But obviously we could do more. We'd like to do more. We have this church supports us, and that's fabulous. Thank you, all of you, anybody that's chipping in. We've got individuals that are supporting us as well. And if you love what we do and you've been inspired by some of what I said, come and chat to me afterwards about ways that you could support or get involved in this work. But one of the things I want to end on is just this connection. Do you know someone, or maybe you are that someone, but do you know someone that you think would be interested in helping CYO to grow so that the work I've described to you could be even bigger? Okay, they may have a connection within education or business, or they might have connection with potential funders for this, because we still need more money. But if you know people like that, come and talk to me. Let's book a meeting. Try and get to meet with them, because it's those links. You know, it's like a link, like I mentioned with Helen. It's that link that started something. Yeah. It's the link you have with the school here that started having a prayer space there. So let's not forget the words of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, proclaim freedom, recovery of sight, set the oppressed free, proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. I believe that we're seeing more than a glimpse of the Lord's favour being fulfilled in schools now, but more could still happen. We live between Eden and Revelation. But God's doing stuff now as well, yeah? So let's, this week, look out for glimpses of Eden. In your dealings with people, see if you can spot that echo of Eden in people, that memory of something that should be better than this, or maybe that hope of what's to come. And let's pray for schools. Father God, thank you for the work you're doing in schools. Thank you for all the people, your people, who are at work blessing the work of schools, helping young people, supporting young people. Thank you for the people of peace, like this lady that Helen and I met with, who was able to make chaplaincy start to happen in that school. And we pray that you would open up more doors in schools, and that you provide more people, and that the church would be an even greater blessing to the young people in schools of this area. Thank you. Amen.
And before Tim goes, a prayer for Tim himself. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for the vision you've given for Tim. Thank you for the ministry that started so small and yet that has grown so much. Thank you that this church was actually part of CYO actually coming into being. And Lord, we pray that as Tim goes about his daily job, I guess, but vocation of growing this ministry to young people through chaplaincy in schools, that you would grow his vision, that you would encourage him, that you'd check him in the areas that he shouldn't be going in, and that you'd give him wisdom and grace and peace in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, that's spot on.
Thank you.
We need all that.